Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What is going on, KOP Nation? It is Sunday night. It's May 3rd, 2026. I'm back. It's Tanner Lee. It's the reigning defending KOP Predictions champion. Glad to be back with you all this evening to talk all about the latest going on in AEW. I don't know if I'm going to be flying solo the whole time or not. I know Paul, his work schedule changed, so he had to work tonight, so he's out. But Shep was up in the air, so he could be joining me sometime this evening during the pod. He could be sliding in hot, you know, Shep style, main event Shep. That's how he rolls. But nonetheless, I'm here. I'm ready to rock. I hope everybody's having a great week, been having a great weekend, ready to rock this next upcoming week starting tomorrow. A lot going on in the wrestling world, especially in AEW. Steffi's in the house. What's going on, Steffi? Hope you're having a good Sunday. Got Isaac in the house. Happy Sunday to you as well, my friend. And Steffi says, no idea if Majin will be in. Oh, we never know. We never know about Majin. Sometimes we don't think he'll be here, and he slides right in. So, but happy you guys are here, and hope you're ready to dive right into some AEW talk, because it's been a fun week of AEW. I know last week the guys, and appreciate the fellas holding down the fort while I was out on a little vacation, but I know they opened up the pod with a lot of WWE talk. There will be a little WWE talk, but later on in the podcast, but it's going to transition with AEW talk. But we're starting with AEW talk tonight, right off the bat. Steffi says, I'm still stinging over Saturday's NHL loss, but made up for it with a NASCAR win today. There you go. Sports fandom. You win some, you lose some. Oh, that slacker, the supposed workhorse of KOP, Paul. He can get on Facebook. He can get on Facebook while he's not here. It's about time you show up. Too bad I'm not there. Well, you know, Paul, you're probably studying up for our double or nothing predictions coming up in a couple weeks. Be 3 weeks from tomorrow. It'll be on the 23rd when we're doing our double or nothing prediction show, which will be live on the Main Event Wrestling Network YouTube channel and the socials. So subscribe, Main Event Network, if you haven't already. And I mean, we're part of the Main Event Wrestling Network. We're talking about great things all the time over there with the boys. They're putting out great pods, great shows, great blogs to read. We're talking in the Discord. We're talking AEW, WWE, TNA, AAA, Independence. We're talking video games. We're talking a little bit everything. So if that's up your alley, if that's interest to you, hit up any of the Main Event Wrestling Network social media accounts with a DM. Tell them you're interested in becoming a part of the Discord, and Kyle and the guys will send you an invite. So, all right. So let's get right into AEW, shall we? I thought we had a really good Dynamite, pretty solid Collision this week as well. I mean, we are on the road to Double or Nothing. Double or Nothing is 3 weeks from tonight. It's on Memorial Day weekend, Sunday, May 24th, from the Louis Armstrong Stadium in Queens, New York. In my opinion, I think Double or Nothing's still probably viewed as the second biggest pay-per-view in AEW. I know there's a lot of discussion. You can make a case for any of the original four as being the number two. So that's being Revolution, Double or Nothing, All Out, or Full Gear. All In, since it came back and came under the AEW umbrella, and they're, you know, running stadium shows with All In, I think that's the unanimous number one. But I don't know, something about Double or Nothing, you know, being the first event AEW ever ran in 2019, out in Las Vegas for years, even though they've switched venues or switched locations the last couple of years because, you know, Vegas was getting a little stale. Just something about that nostalgia being the first event AEW ran has it as the number two event in my eyes. So we're on the road to Double or Nothing 3 weeks from tonight. We only know, I think, one or two confirmed matches. We can speculate on a lot of matches, and we'll probably do that this evening. But I think the build so far has been fun. I mean, there's a lot of, like I said, a lot of speculation. So there's a lot of guessing, a lot of uncertainty. And I think that makes a lot of fun. I think that makes a more enjoyable product when it's not so predictable as to which road they're going to go down. Stephen Chambers, what's up, my friend? Happy Sunday evening to you. Glad you are here. But Dynamite kicked off in a very fun way Wednesday night. We knew we were getting this match after last week on Dynamite, but we didn't know when on the card until I think the day of they announced it was going to open the show. That was Kevin Knight defending his TNT title against MJF. And really fun match. I'm glad the way it went down with Kevin Knight successfully defending his title, getting his biggest win of his career to date in AEW, and by beating MJF, but in a way that doesn't make MJF look bad, doesn't hurt MJF, if you will. I mean, he beat MJF at his own game. You know, MJF grabbed the TNT title from the timekeeper area, brought it into the ring, and why the ref, I think it was Bryce Rensburg, if I'm not mistaken, took the title from him. MJF gets his dynamite diamond ring on, and Knight figures out what's going on, low blows MJF, then rolls him up for the win. So beats him at his own game again. And so that's two times in a row that MJF, you know, he loses the Darby, now loses the Kevin Knight in his own game. So I love it. You can see it's starting to drive MJF crazy that he can't get over the hump, that he's on a little losing streak. And Kevin Knight, he's one of the bright spots in the future of AEW. You know, they like to give guys the TNT title to see how they're going to do before they propel them up to the next level. And I think that's exactly what they're doing with Kevin Knight. In ring, the guy's spectacular. He's athletic as hell. Fun to watch. Mike, he can improve his mic work a little bit, but I think he'll get there. I mean, you can't really improve your mic work without getting opportunities to be on the mic. And that's what he's getting as of late. So, I know people who don't like Kevin Knight, and I can't understand why. I think he's just a fabulous talent. Got a comment here from Gino H or H9H on YouTube. TKO is the death of WWE. TKO is not making many new fans right now. Let's put it that way. It's some of their decisions are pretty head scratching. We'll talk about one later in terms of could it benefit AEW. Stephen Chambers, if MJF puts his career on the line or doing a Cody at Double or Nothing against Darby, MJF has to win. I agree, Stephen. I think I'm kind of surprised, you know, we're 3 weeks out from Double or Nothing. We don't know what the world title match is going to be. Well, heck, technically, we don't even know if Darby will be in the champ going into Double or Nothing because he is now defending his title against Kevin Knight upcoming on this upcoming week's Dynamite, which, I mean, let's be honest, barring an injury of some sort to Darby, which Darby Allin doesn't get hurt, he's not losing to Kevin Knight. It's going to be a fun match, and we'll see if Kevin Knight, I mean, Darby's run so far as world champ has been very entertaining. I like how he's showing up to work every week, putting the title on the line, and just knocking out banger matches. I mean, he had one with Tommaso Ciampa, which I didn't get to talk about last week on the pod because I was out, and I know the guys were a little stale in the match. I thought that was a hell of a match. I thought it was one of the better matches on free television we've got all year. I mean, Ciampa came out and said he's found his wrestling soulmate in Darby Allin. So, and looky there. I'm not flying solo tonight, as a matter of fact.
I'm here.
Main event ship is in the house.
Holy shnikes, what a Sunday.
Sounds like you're having a good Sunday to me, my friend.
It's been a day.
But you haven't missed much, Chip. I've just been kind of rambling on, and I was talking about the opener, Dynamite, Kevin Knight defeating MJF, and how I liked how the match went as far as Kevin Knight defending his title successfully, getting his biggest win of his career to date, but in a way that doesn't hurt MJF, beating MJF at his own game.
I don't think MJF can take a loss right now and hurt. So I love the finish of the match. It doesn't hurt MJF, but it rockets Kevin Knight. It takes him to the next step. So yeah, I'm jumping right in here, right off the cuff. I 100% agree with you. And what a hell of a way to kick off Dynamite, by the way.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, going into the night, we knew we had a loaded card. We had three different title matches on the line. And I think they announced that Kevin Knight and MJF, it was a couple hours before Dynamite, they announced that I was going to open the show. I'm like, that makes sense. And really going into it, I thought, like, if I had to place a bet down, I would have put a bet on Kevin Knight defending it. But I wasn't 100% sure it was going to happen. That's why – and that's the booking lately in AEW I'm enjoying. Like, I've been talking a lot here. We're 3 weeks out from tonight for Double or Nothing, and we still don't know a lot of the matches. We still don't – we can speculate. We still don't know a lot of the matches besides Okada and Takeshita for the international title, and then Cope and Cage versus FTR and the I Quit New York Street Fight for the tag titles. We can speculate, but like, we don't even know what the world title match is going to be yet.
And I could see the world title match actually leading off the show. Leading off Double or Nothing. Ooh. And then you have, I'm telling you right now, Takeshita and Okada could main event this.
It's been a slow burn, that's for sure.
We've been working on it. And if you throw, you know, whoever against Darby in this main event, or sorry, Darby against in the world championship, like, yeah, I mean, you're not going to have a big build. So why not kick off the show with it and get it out of the way? So
I'm still sticking to my guns that it's Darby and MJF again. Now we're 3 weeks out, but we'll see. They're making it interesting. I mean, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, but MJF had a fun backstage segment with Andrade. So,
and Andrade, the New Japan
Global Champ.
Global Champion, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Good for him.
Yeah. No, he's been doing excellent work since his third return, technically, to AEW. We saw the Brawling Birds make quick work of Emily Jay and Jordan Blade. I've seen a lot of people on IWC complaining like the Brawling Birds are just winning squash matches after squash matches. I don't think that's a bad thing because we all see where this is going. They're going to eventually go against the Divine Dominion.
Eventually. And I like the Brawling Birds. Yeah. Like I like how they have presented them. I like how they have done their matches, whether you call them a squash or not. I mean, maybe a little lopsided would be more of a term than
that's
squash.
That's fair.
Yeah. Very, very entertained by them, though, and really appreciate their athleticism in the ring and the way they work. Never you see them on the card, it's never like, okay, it's bathroom break. Never.
Right, no.
Yeah.
No. No. Before we keep going down the card on Dynamite and reviewing all the action, you hit me up and said you got a new drink review. So, what are we drinking, Shep? What are we drinking?
So,
is that a nooner? Is that a high nooner?
So, High Noon came out with a transfusion. And if you remember back in the day, I'm a transfusion slut. That's an easy
That might have to be
say.
A t-shirt, Shep. That might have to be a t-shirt.
And I make them before any time of my golf rounds. I replaced my Bloody Mary, right? And when High Noon came out this week with the transfusion and Dave Portnoy, you know, obviously he's paid to do it.
Sure.
But Dave Portnoy put them over like they were the main event of WrestleMania, okay? I had to get me one, right? So, little transfusion. High Nooner, let's.
You know, I love that you're doing this because literally just this morning I was talking to my wife about how I miss Shep's alcoholic drink reviews on the pod. I swear to God, so this is perfect.
Well, there hadn't been a lot of things that, you know, We've covered a lot, Tanner.
We have.
So here we go. High noon, transfusion. You got a lot to live up to. I'm telling you right now. Here we go. Bottoms up.
He's going in for sip number two. Or I mean, not sip. Shep doesn't take no sips. So.
Not bad. Well, hold on. Hey. I could drink them. Not bad. I can drink them. Now, here's the difference between the ones I make and then what we got here in the can. The ones I make have a little bit more ginger ale in them. These have a little bit more grape juice. So I put a little titch of grape juice in mine. More ginger ale. So it gives you the fizz. Helps.
Yeah, I would like that better. I'm not a big grapefruit guy. So,
well, when you're on the golf course in the morning, you need a little more carbonation in the belly to get it going around, because you don't need to get on the fifth hole.
You don't need to get stuck.
Oh, shit. You know, here we go. Yeah. We've all been there. It's no good.
No.
But this one's a little more grape heavy, which is not bad. Not bad. As a canned transfusion, I would say this is the best canned transfusion on the market. I personally can make a better one, but that we're not ranking mine. But as a canned transfusion, I give this a 7.3 out of 10.
7.3. All right. That's passing. That's passing.
That's a review.
Got some good comments here. Stephen Chambers. Shep needs a helmet with two straws, putting alcohol on top of the helmet, drinking.
I mean, I don't disagree with you, Stephen. I appreciate it.
Majin, what's up, Majin? Good to see you here in the chat. Not bad as he goes in for another swig. You think it's good?
I mean, I feel like the first swig, you got to get it on the palate, cleanse the palate, you know? And then you have a second swig, and it's like, oh, it's a little bit better. Yeah.
Yeah, not many grapefruit fans in the comments. I'm right there with everybody.
No. This is just grape.
Grape.
This is Concord grape. That's in a transfusion.
Okay, I thought you said grapefruit. My bad.
No. So here's a transfusion. Double shot of Tito's or Kettle.
Vodka of your choice.
Vodka of your choice. Double shot. You put a little ginger ale. I like Canadian Dry.
Yep.
Majin, that's for you, my friend. And then you have about that much left in the cup, and you put Concord, the purple, the darkest purple grape juice you can find, and you just put it in there. A little squeeze of lime. There's your transfusion. I feel like I just cut a promo on a transfusion.
You did. That was awesome. I love it.
Hell, you know.
I love it. I love it almost as much as watching Okada hit a dropkick.
Okada hitting a dropkick is just poetry in motion.
He's Mount Rushmore for me in dropkicks. And there's a lot of good ones out there historically, but he hits such a good dropkick.
I can't debate
here's a name from the past that, I mean, I think he had his fans, but he didn't do anything great. But this guy threw a beautiful dropkick, Mark Jindrak, back in the day. The height he would get on his drop kicks.
Well, wasn't he like 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah, he was a big guy too, but man, the height he would get. Man, Randy Orton, when he was younger, he'd hit a good drop kick.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
not so much now, but he's still smooth as hell now. But
I mean, half of his back's gone, but that's okay.
Maj is asking who's on my Mount Rushmore drop kicks. You know, I'm trying to think. You know, Maven, who is now popular because of YouTube, Maven Huffman threw a good dropkick. Of course, in 02 Rumble, he dropkicked Taker out of the Rumble.
That is true.
Steam Chamber says Brad Armstrong. Jim Brunzel.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Arn Anderson threw a great one, but
Double A.
Double A. I mean,
Maja Jindrak was like 6'4", 250. Yeah, he was a big dude. He was supposed to, at one time, be a part of Evolution. I think when either Randy or Batista were on a shelf, and then they canned that real fast. Which is good for Randy and Batista, whichever one, but really bad for Jindrak because his career never really took off. So.
No, he was around for a cup of coffee, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but I brought that up because Okada, we knew he was going to win this match, the International Championship match against Ace Austin. But very, very fun match. I like Ace Austin. I think he's done really good work since he's joined AEW, and I'm glad he's getting more and more TV time with the Bang Bang Gang.
He was good on the indies. You know, he was one of those guys that I was shocked it took this long for AEW to snag. We saw him for a while. So,
well, he's with Impact for a while, so.
Well, yeah, but he
or did TNA work with, now, I should say.
Yeah, TNA, but he didn't work with New Japan, and he kind of bounced all over. But, yeah, love that he was snagged by AEW. Love that he was put in the Bang Bang Gang.
His legs are ridiculous.
Yeah.
He does not miss leg day.
He's just a little bit more athletic than Paul.
Just a little. I would love to see Paul throw a dropkick, attempt to throw a dropkick.
I couldn't get Paul in the wrestling ring this weekend. Another whole conversation.
But, yes, a whole different rabbit hole. He already dropped a comment in here, even though he's not here.
Paul did?
Yeah, on Facebook. Call me out.
I'd love to see it. Or tell me about it.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, it's typical Paul trash talk. It's not that right here.
Oh,
you know,
well, too bad Paul being the manager of the FWF champion this weekend didn't work out in his favor as there was a title change in Rochester, Indiana. Yep. And Paul was on the losing end.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't show as much emotion. It wasn't as animated as I would have liked. And I gave him that feedback. So
and just to let you know, Tanner, and this is going to set you up, and I know how this is going to go. The two guys in the main event of FWF Rochester Rumble that we witnessed this weekend were not shy of $325 apiece. So cue it up. Oh, I thought you had it ready.
Well, I always have it queued up. I just got to hit the button.
Big meaty man. Big meaty man slapping each other.
It was too going at it. And it was great. It was a great. Cletus. Or is it Cletus guy? Oh, I got drunk. Cletus Festus, whatever. He watches the show, so
Cletus.
Sorry. Lycon Festus. That's the dumb.
That was Luke Gallows.
Why did I? Well, he's as tall as Luke Gallows. I'll give him that. Cletus is tall as Luke Gallows, okay? I don't know why I made that say that, but came up, said hi to me this weekend. So good to see Cletus at the show. Fun times. Actually, we had a shot at putts together.
There you go.
We had a little fireball shot.
There you go. I got a surprise for Paul in the works for next week. I knew he wasn't going to be here tonight. So I didn't get it done, but when we're all three back on the pod next week, I got a fun little surprise in the works for Paul. So I think you're going to really enjoy it, Shep. Paul, maybe not so much. Everybody in the comments, I think they're going to enjoy it. So
that's all that matters.
Martin said AEW is going to have quite a few more snags coming soon. We will be discussing that later on the pod. Absolutely. I teed that up earlier. Stephen Chambers, comment tonight. Paul's busy in catering.
Well, I don't. Never mind.
After Okada beat Ace Austin, we saw Juice Robinson and Ace Austin looking to attack Okada and Callis. Mark Davis came down. Takeshita appeared, stared down Okada. So a lot of teasing there. And then we saw the Bang Bang Gang in action last night on Collision, which I'll talk about after we're done talking about Dynamite. But another thing on Dynamite I loved was, you know, we're seeing this vignette, the Western Saloon vignette. I'm like, all right, where they shoot the Bandito ones. I'm like, all right, we're going to get a Bandito return. not so fast. Because we see somebody pick up the wanted sign with Bandido, and it's Swerve Strickland and Prince Nana, and Swerve sets fire to it. So it looks like we're going to get Swerve versus Bandido. My God, what a match that's going to be.
Agreed. But isn't it kind of an odd feud?
Oh, it's random. Very random.
Very random. Now, those two athletically in the ring, oh, they're going to steal whatever show they're on.
Probably double nothing.
I just thought it was an odd feud to pick up. But, hey, two guys needed something. Tony Khan says, let's do it, and away we go.
Tony better not put the ROH championship on the line in this match, or I'm going to be fuming. Swerve's too big for that. Even though Jericho, you could have made an argument. Jericho was too big at both either time when he won the ROH championship. But there's no reason for Swerve to have that.
See, I could argue with that. And why not elevate ROH?
What elevating is there to do? It's not going to get a TV deal. So,
what if he's got a TV deal in the works?
I would be shocked. And then that would shut me up.
I mean, I can always see guys like this elevating these titles. Like, I mean, how many months have we been talking about Athena?
Years.
You know, years, not months. But, I don't see it. I agree with you. I don't see it. But if it does happen, I don't think it necessarily hurts because
– okay.
I don't know. There's a lot of good things coming up at ROH. Do I watch it consistently? No. Would I watch it if Swerve's their champion? It might bring some new eyeballs.
I would be more inclined to watch it.
There you go.
I do not watch it at all right now. So
that's why you put the belt on Swerve.
Martin said that's what we all want, is someone to shut Tanner up. Hey, that's not very nice.
Majin's a heel against everybody. You ever notice that?
Oh, he is. He's just pissed about everything. He also says, I think he's finally going to pull the trigger on Athena's ring in that survival match. It's got to be one of these days.
Maybe. Don't hold your breath, Majin.
Yeah, he might pass out. How are you feeling about this Ospreay Moxley Death Rider stuff, Shep?
I love the opening. I love the little vignette. Where's the ring? We don't have a ring.
Claudio's taking the shirt off.
I was entertained. I don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah, right.
But I was entertained, and that's the whole point.
See, a lot of people are speculating this could be our Anarchy in the Arena match, Double or Nothing. United Empire versus the Death Riders. But I'm like, that's in 3 weeks. I kind of want this story to last longer through the summer.
Yeah, it's got potential. Especially if we just got Ospreay to come over to the Death Riders, right?
Right.
We just easing him in. Mm-hmm. So in 3 weeks would be kind of rushing
it, right? Yeah.
To kick him out of the Death Rider. Well, I know he's not in the Death Rider, but you kick him out of that, and all of a sudden you have a 6-on-6 or 5-on-5 or whatever the hell it is. Aren't it Anarchy in the Arena? I kind of want to see him train and do the ups and downs with the Death Riders and have some of those obviously amazing matches that we're going to have with Ospreay, but have some of that entertainment backstage with these vignettes because – obviously, I was chuckling. It was great. He's like, I go back to, he should make a fucking shirt. Where's your ring? Like, put Moxley and Ospreay on the front of a T-shirt talking to each other, and the bottom says, where's your ring?
You know what popped me was, Mox is so serious all the time, and then he, like, breaks character for a second and pokes Pac like the Pillsbury Doughboy. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, what? Like, it popped me. I'm like, this is just, he's having the time of his life right now. Like,
agreed. That's why throw them guys on a T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Make a couple $20,000. I don't know how much they make on t-shirts, but you know, sell 10,000 t-shirts, make $30,000, and move down the road. I'd buy a damn t-shirt like that.
Mon says, especially when Jeff Cobb comes back and rejoins United Empire. We'll be talking about Jeff Cobb later on. Steven Chambers, I'm guessing Bang Bang Game versus Death Riders rivalry going Jay White versus Mox. Take my money.
Oh, I would love a Jay White Mox strung out.
I just want Swiss laid back on television. He is the only missing piece of the Bang Bang Game now. So
yeah, I want a healthy and back.
Mon says it's okay. It's okay, but there's been no reason why he'd even join or why they'd suddenly protect him. Moxley sees something in him.
Yeah.
And maybe Moxley's thinking, if we can help this guy get into the title scene and win it, that's my avenue to a rematch for the title. I don't know. Just spitballing there.
Hey, you know what? If it's a 4 or 5 month story, I'm in. I love it.
Because we're in May. Like, if his story is going to peak and end in Wembley at the end of August and all that, it's got to start right now.
Sure. Sure. We're four months out?
Yeah.
So you give me a four-month build into Wembley? Well, let's go. I'll run through a freaking brick wall for them boys.
I've seen it being debated right now who should be the match at All In. And poor Darby, even though I'm really enjoying his reign so far, nobody's even considering him. Should it be Osprey Omega or Osprey MJF? Those are the two I'm seeing out there.
What about
you can make cases for both?
What about a triple threat?
I think a triple threat would be great, but if you are going to crown Osprey as your guy, the guy in AEW, I think he needs to win it in a one-on-one match, not a triple threat match.
I don't know. I mean, you've never seen it before, MJF versus Osprey versus Omega.
No.
You've never seen it before. One of the biggest stages of AEW has ever done, like, why not? Again, you know, if you listen to us, Jackalopes, back in the beginning, I used to be harsh on triple threat mats. I used to call it lazy booking.
Yes, you did.
Because we didn't know what the fuck to do with people, so we just put them in a triple threat match, correct?
Yes.
Now, I'm being a lazy ass and booking them, but I kind of want to see it.
Great talents that you want to see mix it up.
Yeah, I kind of want to see it. So,
and story-wise, you can make that work. With the story they've told with the three guys so far in 2026.
Yeah, you could. Yeah. So much. Especially with MJF, the upcoming talent, Ospreay, the established talent, Omega. Hey, man, I got one last ride in me. I'm going to give it all I got. You got the middle, or you got the start, you got the middle, and you get the end. You got a little bit of everything. So it could work. So my lazy-ass booking might work this one
time. Yeah. Might work. You know, one thing that's kind of cracked me up lately, even though I thought the match was good, I thought Cope and Cage were really good Wednesday night. Like, little things I pick up on with them, they still do veteran things. Like, Christian will do a move that impacts his broken arms. Right after he hits the move, he's grabbing his arm, you know, even though he's hurt his opponent too. Little things like that kind of get lost in the sauce. But how are these guys' faces in this feud with Rocky Romero and Trent Barretta when they've really not done anything and they're getting ambushed in locker rooms and Trent's getting parts of the chair thrown through his mouth to make him say, I quit? Like, I don't understand how Cope and Cage are the faces of this feud, technically.
They're the faces because they're doing these backstage vignettes where Cope obviously is like your typical baby face. He's the nice guy. Right. And then all of a sudden his partner, who won't crack a smile, wears a turtleneck still and is a complete asshole. Yeah. And he's a complete asshole. And he plays the character so well where Cope's kind of like, Hey, rein him in a little bit. But then they get into a backstage segment and it's like, free for all, go for it. So
yeah.
They're the face because FTR is doing such a damn good job in heels right now, and that's their main competition, obviously. So, yeah, we need a face. It's going to be Cope and Christian. All of us jackalopes that have been watching wrestling for 30-plus years, we want to see this reunion of Christian and Edge. Okay, I'm going to say it. We want to see that reunion. Yeah. So we're gonna root for them no matter how they portray it and do it. So, yeah, we're gonna root for them. We're going to make them the face because that's what we want to see. We want to see that belt go back to them one last time. One last nostalgia and ride.
And if the stip at Double or Nothing, if they lose, they're done teaming together. So,
yeah.
Makes it very intriguing. What do you think, though? And I know this is kind of going into Collision a little bit. What do you think about upcoming Wednesday? We got Dynamite and Collision. It's a 3-hour show this upcoming Wednesday night. What do you think about Dax versus Orange? And if Dax wins, it's FTR and Ciampa versus the conglomeration for trios. What's your opinion on that? Saying that FTR has already got the tag belts and then they might be going for the trios.
They should. They're the best tag team in the world.
Okay. That's fair. I don't like it because I don't like double champions, but I like Ciampa being in the mix.
Yeah, but hold on. Didn't you enjoy when FTR held 5 belts over 5 different
But organizations? They were in different promotions, so they weren't. Their storylines weren't crossing.
Yeah, it didn't matter. They defended the CMLL belts on Dynamite a couple times.
That doesn't bother me, unlike when you got like Willow, for instance, holding the TBS and the tag belt, or Fletcher and Okada holding the trios and then individual mid-card belts. That's what ticks me off.
Okay.
So that's why I don't want to see a tag hold the trios, but okay. You know, right. But here's what I think is going to happen anyways. Little Tanner prediction here. I think Dax will beat Orange. So we get that trios match. I think Mark Briscoe returns and costs them, setting up Ciampa versus Briscoe at Double or Nothing.
Yeah, he's due to return.
Just in a one-on-one match.
I get on board with that. Absolutely.
Yeah. West Virginia's correcting it. It was the AAA titles at the time because AAA at the time had a relationship with AEW. Yeah,
sorry. I didn't say CMLL. My bad.
Yep. He did have the right country, though. At least he's on. He's there. We got him there.
Hey, so. Viva la Mexico!
How are you enjoying this iteration of Chris Jericho's character?
Let me take a drink. Hold on.
Okay.
It's a lot better than what I expected when he came back. I'll give you that.
I like that they're. Go ahead, Shep. Didn't mean to cut
off. No, you're fine. I think we're on a little bit of a delay, actually. I enjoy his talking points in the ring. I enjoy him being a little bit of a smartass. Because I'm a smart ass, so I guess I can enjoy it when somebody else is. So as of his return, I enjoy it. I know we're a little fresh into his return and his re-signing multi-year deal with AEW. So we'll see. But right now he's entertaining me, and I don't cringe when I hear his music hit. Let's put it that way.
And Majin brings up a good point I was going to bring up. He says, I love it. I love, for one, that he doesn't have a huge ego and he's putting everyone over. I do love that we've seen him lose every match since he's returned. And that crowd's going to pop huge when he's finally on the winning end of it.
Sure, and it's probably going to be at a PLE.
Yeah, it should be at Double or Nothing, and he should get revenge on Ricochet for beating him the first time.
God, so, anybody that beats Ricochet will get a standing ovation out of me.
Mon said, boy, you guys doubting Jericho, stay doubting one of the greatest ever. I will admit, I said he should go to WWE. I thought there was nothing left for him to do in AEW, and he's proven me wrong.
the reason I wanted him to go back to Connecticut, go back, have you one little single run, get you in the Hall of Fame, which you deserve, and right off in the sunset, and make it an occasional appearance as a WWE legend, and make us laugh, make us, you know, come back against The Miz, come back against, you know, the top heel at the time. You're Jericho. That's what I want for Jericho, how I want to remember Jericho. Obviously, wasn't in the right game plan, right?
Well, so, and he looks pretty smart right now for re-signing. Instead of going over there with a lot of moving parts.
There's a lot of shit going on over there.
And we'll get into it once we recap Dynamite and Collision here. Here's a match I did not care for on Dynamite. I like all the talent involved. I did not like Divine Dominion against Statlander and Sheeta for the Women's World Tag. I thought it was a clunky match.
It was boring. Very boring.
Yeah, I just didn't enjoy it. Didn't think it hit well.
I was watching it, and I normally get on my phone, you know. Sure. Our age nowadays, we're always on our damn phones, right? So when I start watching Dynamite, I watch Dynamite, commercial break, I'm on my phone, Dynamite, commercial break, blah, blah, blah. We come back from a commercial break, we're watching this match, I never got off my phone.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Yep. They're planning something for Roosh. I can't figure out what, but they keep on TV time like a beast and have squash matches. I don't know where they're going with them, but they obviously got plans, and he squashed a guy named Steven Ferdy. I'm not sure. I think it's Ferte. So I don't know where they're going, but they've got something in the works for them.
How long have they been building Roosh? I feel like there's always something new with him.
Every time they try to, he gets injured. He gets injured every time.
I mean, the last one, remember when he was doing that most wanted thing where he was riding the horse through the cowboy town, you know, 1925. I don't know. And then we just quit doing that.
I thought that was Bandito was doing the most wanted.
That was Roosh, wasn't it?
I mean, we've seen Bandito in that Western town. I was
referring
to earlier. And
I got to Google it. I get him confused.
While you're Googling, I also want your opinion on this, because we see Samoa Joe. He's back. Great to see Joe back. He reintroduces Shibata, Hook, and now the newest member of the Ops, Anthony Bowens. And he calls out Ospreay and tells him that he hopes he isn't suffering from Stockholm Syndrome after seeking out training from the Death Riders. What do you think about Bowens being the fourth member of the Ops?
You need a place for him. He's a very talented wrestler. Okay. He can go in the ring. Why wouldn't
he? It seems like an odd fit. I think it's only a matter of time before they all turn on him. But so are they done trying to revamp the Acclaim? Because remember, they were trying that for a little while.
They tried it. I don't think it worked. And I think Bowens is too good of a talent to just ride off in the sunset.
See, Stephen Chambers thinks it's a matter of time before Max saves Bowens and the Acclaim returns.
Okay. You know, I wouldn't hate them coming back as a tag team. We could use another good tag team. So.
Mod said they at least teased him, and now he'll be able to do his heel gimmick as a damn heel.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm willing to let it breathe and give it time.
It's one of those mid-carders right now where, I mean, let's be honest, they could do some nice things and still get lost, and we not talk about them next Sunday.
But like my whole thing with the Ops when Joe was out, Hook should have been recruiting more. We literally only saw him interact with Bowens. Like, and now he's not the leader anymore. Joe's back. Like
Hook should have been on TV every week.
Yeah, and should have been recruiting more guys or even adding more. Like it just It was kind of silly, but. And then we got the world championship match, the main event, Darby Allin against Brody King. I know Majin wasn't a fan of it. He said he got on his phone during the main event. I enjoyed it. We knew we were going to get small guy beating the big guy, but I liked throughout the show how they were recapping the history in the rivalry. I liked that a lot. And hats off to Darby. I thought he put on a banger against Ciampa. I thought he put on a banger against Brody King. Well, hopefully him and Kevin Knight will be a banger. The pressure's on Kevin Knight. You don't want to be the stinker of the matches so far. We knew there was going to be crazy spots. I mean, the coffin drop to Brody on the concrete was pretty gnarly. I enjoyed it. I still think this is going to be a short title reign for Darby, but I like how they're going about it. Like, okay, it's going to be a short reign, but we're going to get every ounce of it that we can out of it.
Well, you know how I feel about little versus big matches.
Yes.
But I will give these guys a tip of my cap. The spots they did was very entertaining. God, the spot Brody did going through the guardrail. Like, I don't know if you saw the second angle that came out on social media like a day later that night or whatever. He was going 100 mile an hour. And I mean, he hit that 100 mile an hour. You and I do that right now. You and I need a wheelchair to go to work tomorrow.
Yep.
And obviously, Darby's Darby. Okay. So if I could say anything at all about a little versus big match, now all of a sudden you throw the world championship on top of that. I was entertained and I enjoyed the match. That's painful for me to say. Do I want to see them run it back? Absolutely not. I can not. See it. Absolutely not. But there was enough high spots in the match, enough crazy shit in the match. We got a winner. I am so looking forward to Kevin Knight versus Darby next Wednesday. And I think that'll be a pay-per-view quality match.
The only gripe I had with the whole Kevin Knight thing was, you know, he's supposed to be injured against the match in MJF. And then he had a match last night against Hook, but he's perfectly healthy by the end of Dynamite. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, play that injury out more if he's really got injured during that match against MJF.
We have really good trainers in AEW.
You're right. comments here, Majin. Brody should have dominated him, but as I said, if Brody was struggling against Leo Rush, Darby would eat him alive. Steven Chambers says faster than Braun's 23 miles per hour. Majin, I wanted to like it. I really did because I like Brody, but he said he can't. Steven has a feeling that MJF will ruin the Kevin Knight Darby match on Monday. And Maj said, I'm looking forward to it because finally he's facing a guy in his own damn size.
There you go.
But overall, I thought it was a good Dynamite. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great crowd. Biggest crowd they've had since 2024, I believe, for Dynamite. So
over 5,200 people, I think.
Yeah.
Wasn't this the largest Dynamite of all time?
Since 2024. You got to remember back when they had, when Punk first came back, they were running bigger venues in 21, 22.
Okay.
So it's some big houses for Dynamite back then. But did you watch Collision last night, Shep?
I watched a little bit, and I think the most important part of Collision was the return of one Colton Gunn.
Yes, that was definitely the most important part. Great to see Colton Gunn back. Austin Gunn, of course, with him. So now, bang, bang, gang, you have the Guns, Ace Austin, and Juice Robinson all ready to go. Crowd pop for it. Another good crowd, Collision last night, which was live. The live collisions are always better than the taped ones. But I thought Dynamite was the better show this week. But I thought Collision had some good stuff going on last night. I enjoyed the opener, Death Riders and the Dogs versus the Rascals and Top Flight. A lot of fun action there.
You'd have got color?
Yuta got big time color.
Yeah.
And crowd still hates Yuta, even though the Dogs and Death Riders got the win. I like the Dogs getting wins, Clark Connors and David Finley, since Gabe Kidd, couldn't think of his name, still on the shelf. But I it's ironic to me the Dogs are getting wins with another team right now, not on their own. So Jack Perry against Dorada. I don't care for the national championship, but I thought that was a really fun match. And Dorada can really go.
Yeah, he can.
Yeah, the conglomeration against the M&M Collection and Johnny TV. It's one of those matches you got to try to smile and laugh because it was just very hokey and corny, and you're supposed to just laugh with it. It was supposed to be entertaining in that realm because I don't know.
Were you not entertained though?
I chuckled at a few things. I mean, how can you not when Orange is doing certain things? But like, you got some killers in there with KOR and Roderick Strong when they want to be, but you just can't take them real serious with this team. And a guy like Johnny TV, he could really go back in the day. And I feel like he's just on a jobber spot anymore.
Yeah. You know, he makes his appearances on ROH, and I think he does some indies here and there. But I mean, he's probably comfortable taking a paycheck right now.
Sure. Sure.
You know, he's working with his wife and
true.
Why does he need to do any more? Right.
We saw Willow Nightingale defend her TBS championship against Anna Jay. Anna Jay's first match on TV in over 164 days. Now her contract's coming up to an end soon. She did confirm that on Twitch, even though she said a lot of the stuff out there is BS about her contract. So it'll be interesting to see if this is the first match of many we see with her, if she resigns, or if this is a goodbye match and she's doing the honors on her way out.
You think it's a goodbye match because she's been gone so long? Or
I mean, you got to think. I mean, Hobbs wasn't – he was getting used when he left, but, you know, every time AEW knows somebody's going away or leaving the company, they have them lose on the way out to get something out of them, except they didn't with Ricky – Starks at the time. They should have.
Hey, he made his
he's on SmackDown.
Made his SmackDown debut this week.
He got hit by a crossroads that wasn't Cody's smoothest. He kind of got dumped on his head.
Well, you know. Hey, Cody, Cody's healing from Mania.
That's true.
So
and Steven's got a great question. And Willow was successful in this defense. And I gotta be honest, Shep, Willow's getting stale for me.
You said that last.
Did I?
Yeah. And I've been a Willow fan for a while, but maybe we need to do something else.
And Steven, this is a question I wanted to ask you: who's going to dethrone Willow? She's had this belt since the end of December.
There's a lot of women that should, but.
Majin says it should be Harley Cameron.
I say it should be Athena. Get her. I mean, obviously, yes. Obviously, our world title picture with Athena in it is a fucking pipe dream. So get Athena on the mid-card title. Why not?
It damn better not be Mercedes. And that's what I'm kind of afraid of, because they keep saying that Willow's the comeback killer. But that derails everything. Mercedes, when she comes back, needs to be in the women's world title picture. Eventually. Maybe not like right away, but eventually. Don't put her in another title picture. Don't put her in the TBS. Been there, done that. No.
No. She needs to be in the world title picture. No questions.
I doubt this happens. But if I had the pencil, I'm bringing back a biatch heel Britt Baker to take the TBS title off of Willow. Britt with the TBS title, you can do some good stuff.
Sure, and Britt says she's ready to come back.
I know. Bring her back as just a bitch heel. I think she'd be great in that role.
Now let me ask you a question. If a person is talented as Britt is ready to come back, why is she not back? Is there something more that they're not leading us onto?
I think there's a lot more we don't know. And I don't know if it's been injuries that we don't know. I don't know if it's personal stuff. Tony Khan has spoken good about her on different media appearances within the last 6 months. So he did the same with Jericho. Then Jericho came back. I think there's something, or there has been something that we don't know about. What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. I've never seen those reports. If it is, it is, I guess. I mean, I feel like there's enough outspoken people nowadays, whether it's places like Pro Wrestling Nation 24/7. I feel like that stuff would come out. You can't hide that shit. So if that was a real deal, I feel like that stuff would come out about Britt. So,
and Ma just said, I'd be fine with Mercedes back in the TBS picture. Keep her out of my women's world title picture. Yeah, she needs to be in it.
I'm opposite.
She needs to be in it. And maybe not right away, because I think she needs to win a few matches, but you better have her in it by Wembley. Like her or not, she's the biggest name they got with Tony on the shelf. And I think Tekla, I think Maj is a woman. Tekla's doing a really good job. I do. But
she's doing a good job on the in-ring. I've always been vocal on her.
You don't like her calling everybody bitches?
Her mic shit is what gets me going.
I think she does fine. I think it's the other two in the group. I think Julie and Sky need to step it up.
Then get rid of them. Then Tekla doesn't need them, right?
Well. And yeah, I'm glad Majin says also thoughts and prayers go out to Rebel. Sucks to hear what she's going through.
Yeah, that was, I watched that video, and that was that. If that didn't tug at your heart, you're not a human being, man.
100%.
Yeah, so
she's been through a lot the past few years.
Yeah, to be through a lot and then find out that's what the terminal disease you have, and God bless her. And
yeah,
hope all the best. Hope all the best of her. Her, you know, that she's comfortable and, you know, fights it the best she can. And just a shitty situation. And, you know, God bless her, man.
Yep. And for anybody who doesn't know, she came out. Oh, and I'll say this, because she came out and said it, that she's been diagnosed with terminal ALS. So,
yeah. And if you watch the video, you know, her speech is already impaired, and her face doesn't look like the Rebel we remember. You know, back in the Daily Place era of AEW.
She was great. She was great then.
She was awesome. So, you know, again, thoughts and prayers to her.
We saw the Bang Bang Gang last night defeat the Death Riders. Big win for Juice and Ace. And that's when we saw the return of the guns to help out even the odds afterwards. And man, Marina Shafir was pissed after the match. Pissed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Came in and saved Mox.
Yep.
So, I mean, maybe she was pissed that she had to work. I don't know.
And I love Colton saying Collision Cowboys are back, and like, this is our show. I kind of like that, saying like, you tune into Collision, you're going to see us.
You know what, though? Hey, you talk about a tag team division that could use a little breath of fresh air, man. You know, I love FTR, I love the Bucks, and I love, you know, Cope and Cage, but what do we have besides that right now?
Oh, I think give it about 90 days. I think a couple teams are coming.
Well, okay, but I'm just saying right now.
Right now.
Take your machine guns. Put your machine guns back in your holsters there, Tanner. Okay. Right now, we need another fresh team.
Well, I think they got teams, but it's just there are some guys on the shelf, and you could put Clark Connors and Finley in there right now with Gabe Kidd on the shelf. The Rascals, you could put two of those three. Like, but that's what, you know, I'm naming these factions, and that's what pisses me off about the trios. I think the trios is where the booking's awful. And there's plenty of trios, but they don't know how to use them.
Yeah. You take. I don't know. I feel like the way they book the trios is like you have a tag team, and then oh hey, go get your buddy.
Yeah.
And then we'll have a trios match.
Yeah.
It's not like they're not making these guys true trios champion, true tag champions. Right. It's like, right. Hey, me and Tanner. Hey, fuck Tanner, go get Paul and let's have a match. You know what I mean? Fucking bring Paul in here and let's get this done. It's just kind of how it works.
You're right. You're right. You're so right. Sky Blue won a match against Nikki XS. I got to be honest. I don't even remember that match happening. Collision. So that must have been my bathroom break.
I think it was my bathroom break as well.
Kevin Knight and Hook, main event for the TNT title. Kevin Knight won. Good match, though. Hook, and Majin had a comment about Hook that I missed. I meant to talk about that. Let me go find it. But, I mean, Kevin Knight, we knew he wasn't going to lose, especially when they already advertised him against Darby next week. But still a fun match. Dang, I cannot not find Imogen's comment about Hook now. He had a good one. Majin, if you don't mind dropping that comment again, that'd be great.
Yeah, Majin, do your job.
Because I mean, it's in here somewhere. I just not finding it.
I like being rude to Majin. It's kind of
funny. Well, it'd be weird if you weren't.
It's true.
Here it is. I found it. All right. Do you guys think it's time to have a conversation on Hook? He was treated as something big, and while he's had a couple good matches, he just hasn't hit.
I thought, I mean, honestly, I didn't think he should have been just because Joe was on the shelf. Like, I still think we should have got Hook every week. But just because Joe was on the shelf, I feel like Hook was on the shelf. So, I don't know. I have mixed feelings of Hook. I want Hook to be awesome. I love the character.
I know.
Okay? But I saw Hook is booked for GCW Cincinnati in a couple weeks. And I'm like, holy shit, what a great booking for Hook. Like, GCW and Hook go hand in hand. And until I think he gets more reps, that's a great place for him. Your Avalanche.
Steven, to answer your...
Your Avalanche is up 2-0.
Question, just wondering, did Hook Reese... Yeah, I got on my – well, I don't have the game, but I got on my – I got score on my phone over here. They better take care of the Wild. Wild have been a pain in our ass in the playoffs in the past. But Stephen Chambers wondering if Hook re-signed last year. I believe he did. I believe I read a report last year that he re-signed a multi-year deal because there was a lot of speculation he was going to leave. So but, yeah, at first when there was so much mystique about his character, he wasn't saying anything. He'd eat chips. Then he'd just whoop ass and leave. He had that awesome title match with Joe in Daly's place just a couple years ago. But I feel like the more they've had him talk, his character – I'm with Mod, his character's not hitting for me. I like his in-ring, but
– Yeah, I mean, I don't miss him, but yet I don't, but like, oh shit, we didn't have Hook on Wednesday.
Right.
So.
But good week of AEW. I thought it was very solid. I think this upcoming Wednesday is going to be a big night. I mean, it's Collision and Dynamite, 3-hour show. So whenever you have one of those, you know it's going to be good. Let's look at the current card here for the show. We have Sheeta and Statlander versus Mina Shirakawa and Harley Cameron. That was made official last night. We have an AEW Continental title eliminator match. Hate eliminator matches, but Mox versus Juice Robinson. And hey, Juice reminded everybody last night, he's beat Moxley once before, and he can do it again.
I like Juice. I like Juice.
Double Jeopardy match. Dax Harwood versus, Dax versus Orange Cassidy double jeopardy match. And then we have the world title match, Darby versus Kevin Knight. So far.
I feel that Dynamite in the last 4 weeks has just been full throttle. And I don't know if it's because it was Mania season, but I feel like we've been getting over the top Dynamites for the last 4 or 5 weeks. And now we're continuing with the world title matches and all that stuff. So
Modern says Tony Storm likes juice too.
Tony Storm likes the juice and cider. Get it right, Maja.
Wow. All right. Stephen Chamber said, 3 hours Wednesday and Fairway to Hell, 1 hour episode Saturday. Yeah, the Fairway to Hell and the TGL site down there in Florida. 1 hour, and I read where Tony wants to make this an annual thing.
Great. You know, I think that's arena is awesome. I can't wait for Tiger to come out and champagne toast him. Is that a little much? Is that too soon? Is that too soon?
Nah, he deserves it all.
Okay.
Steven, all right. If Orange wins, tag team title shot. That's right. If Dax wins, trios title shot. That's why it's double jeopardy. Thank you for the reminding me, Steven.
You know, hey, we got Steven. We don't have a Paul anymore, so we got a Steven.
You know when they say addition by subtraction?
Wow. Holy shit, that was harsh.
Just kidding, Paul, if you're listening or watching, which you're not, but all good. Steffi does have a question for you, Shep. How about that Texas race, huh?
I didn't care for it, Steffi. I didn't care for it.
She's not going to like that because she said earlier that she was pissed her hockey team lost, but she liked the NASCAR result. So
I thought it was full of cautions. I didn't think the racing was good.
That's fair. That's fair.
Sorry.
That's fair. But all right. So I did say at the top we were going to stick heavy to AEW, but I did mention we're going to talk a little WWE, but it's going to tie in, I think, with AEW. And that is WWE had another round of releases over the weekend. They released four guys. They released JC Mateo, formerly known as Jeff Cobb. Didn't even last a year. A week shy of a year. Okay. And Antonga Loa, former WWE tag team champion. But more newsworthy, they released a tag team of the last 12 years, first ballot Hall of Famers, two members of the New Day, Xavier Woods, and former WWE champion Kofi Kingston. Now, mutual departure.
Hold on a second. Now you say first ballot Hall of Famers?
Absolutely. With what those three have done, sticking together 12 years, how many tag titles they've won, Kofi winning the WWE title. Yeah, as a tag team, first ballot Hall of Famers. They don't let anybody in the Hall of Fame anymore anyways. So
I understand Hall of Famers, but just put the first ballot there? I mean, I'm on the fence on that.
Is there such thing as a first ballot, I guess, when it comes to the WWE Hall of Fame? Probably not.
I did love the New Day when they would defend the tag team belt and you didn't know which pair you were going to get because there was three of them. Yeah. I love that about them. They had a lot of great gimmicks, a lot of great segments. I'm on the fence by saying first ballot. Do I think they'd be in the Hall of Fame? Absolutely. But I think Kofi and Big E kind of carried that trio.
That's fair.
I figure Xavier Woods is best known for banging Paige. So.
Well, in ring, he did win King of the Ring 1 year. But
Oh,
Out of the Ring. Yes.
What page? What page was that on of the program? What page is that on?
You got to go pay for that program.
Oh, okay.
Or I'm get sure a virus. He, or get a virus.
I don't know if he paid for that page, but hey.
Hey. Ask hey. Brad Maddox.
As Alberto Del Rio.
That guy's a chode. I saw Steven mention Jeff Cobb ought to go to AEW or New Japan. I think New Japan's the move for Jeff Cobb.
He was so good over there.
He wasn't interested in joining AEW full time for whatever reason, or he could have before he went to WWE. I think New Japan. I think the other one released with him, Tongaloa. I think New Japan, but the New Day. I think I would be surprised if they are not All Elite. If they're not All Elite, I think they just make a ton of money on the indies. I don't see them going to TNA. They were signed from last year through 2030. But TKO wanted to give them a new deal, and they didn't like it. So that's why they're walking. Good for them. And I think they're joining AEW because there's a lot of good relationships with guys in the AEW locker room with the New Day. And everybody's always praised the New Day's locker room leaders. So, you know, back in the day, the Bucks had two tweets. One was, someday we will wrestle the revival. Remember, you know, in the nation or the world will rejoice. Remember this tweet. They did the same thing about the New Day. Now it could happen.
Obviously, TKO, when they restructured their deal, obviously took pay away from them.
Yep.
I mean, let's be honest. That's what it comes down to. So, I think both of those guys have a lot left in the tank. If they end up in AEW, again, another new tag team that we could use. And obviously we were joking about it earlier. The other tag team that's going to show up, we think, in AEW, none other than I would put them on Hall of Famers already, whether you want to put them in the TNA Hall of Fame or just the overall wrestling Hall of Fame, the Motor City Machine Guns.
Yeah, not the WWE Hall of Fame because they didn't do shit with them after they put the straps on them. But, I think Sabin and Shelley were rumored to be All Elite before they went to WWE after they left TNA. Yeah, you were talking about the tag division. Both these teams coming over in 90 days when they can breathes new life and a lot of new fun matchups in the tag division.
Right. And it's right around July 1st. July, right?
End of July, like the Detroit date for Motor City, it would be August for the New Day, but all ends at the end of August.
So there you go.
Yep.
Hey, yep. They got 3 months to rest up, heal, work out, make yourself look like a fucking $1 million.
Yep.
And then come over to the good side and let's party.
And honestly, those are the only releases from the WWE I want to see become All Elite are those four guys. I don't want to see anybody else. I'm not interested in a Malakai Black reunion.
What about Dexter Lumis and Indy Hartwell?
I'm afraid he'll get lost in the sauce.
I like them, though.
More so Dexter than Indy.
I like them.
Yeah.
I'm entertained by them. Let's put it that way.
I think the Wyatt Six could do some fun stuff as a group on the indies.
Yeah, I mean, Bo Dallas, you know, I don't look, he had his Bo Leave gimmick, and then he came and did this past Wyatt Six gimmick. I don't think there's much left for Bo Dallas. I don't think he can go back to Bo Dallas because of what he just did. You know, I think it.
He honestly might want to be done too. I don't know.
Yeah, which sucks, but
everybody's saying Kylie Rae should be one of the AEW signs. Kaylee Ray, sorry, not Kylie. Kaylee, not Kylie Rae. Been there, done that. Kaylee Ray.
Yeah. Smiley Kylie.
No, been there, done that. Modest Tanner, AEW isn't interested in Malakai either. Locker room has spoken. Good. Yeah, no, he didn't want to be there in the first place. Right when Triple H took over Vince, he tried to get off his contract early. No, don't let him and his wife go to MLW or TNA or Indies or wherever. Stephen Chambers said Joe Gacy and GCW.
Yeah, there you go.
Kairi Sane, she could be a cross-promotion option, signed to New Japan / AJ, but she'd be great if she's interested. That'd be great. Yeah, Malakai's a hell of a talent, but also there's a reason he hasn't worked out now, back-to-back companies, and been released twice by WWE. There's a reason. I don't think he likes to put people over.
I think he's
very and good. I don't think TKO likes these dark characters. I don't think it's in there.
You know, Paul made that comment the other day in our group chat, and it's like, okay, well, as much as we want to say fuck TKO, I'm not a big dark character guy, but guess what? There's room for every type of character in professional wrestling. That's what makes professional wrestling great.
Agreed.
It's a 360, man. And there's a wall in that 360 that there's a fit for every fucking body.
Yep.
So, and maybe I'm just bitter about TKO over the last.
I think they're douchebags. So,
yeah. So to say TKO doesn't like a dark, sadistic character, then what the fuck would have happened, you know, to The Undertaker back in the day?
And Mick Foley, Mankind.
Yeah.
Even Kane. Yeah.
Kane, Mick Foley, you know, well, Mankind, Kane, Undertaker.
Right.
Yeah. What are they just going to say? You know, fuck you guys, you're gone.
Yeah. Three of your biggest names ever. So, but Majin does have a good comment here. Problem with dark characters is they have a shelf life. Look at Bray, for example. Every different thing he tried died out quicker than the last. It is tough. That's why when the Wyatt Six, like the way they debuted was awesome. But even then, I'm like, how are they going to keep this going? And then they couldn't figure out a way to do it.
They couldn't. Yeah.
It is tough. Abaddon for AEW in the women's division. She had that mystique for a little bit. It was tough to keep going. So, yeah.
I'm going to get a lot of shit here, okay?
Yep.
She sucked at wrestling.
That's fair.
She was not good in the ring.
That's fair.
So.
That's fair.
Her gimmick was sadistic and satanic or whatever. All about it. But she sucked in the ring.
This is a 180, but it was something on Dynamite I wanted to talk about. I think they need to make shirts for it. I think it's going to become a chant in the crowd. It was like my favorite thing all week. MJF and Andrade backstage. MJF keeps getting pissed at Andrade, like, you lost. All Andrade said, how you know? And MJF's getting pissed and pissed and pissed. I loved it. I popped. I thought it was great. Just, how you know? You lost the match. I saw you. How you know? Andrade's going to be a face soon, man.
Well, not only is he going to be a face soon, he's going to be a main eventer.
Yeah.
And he's going to be one of the top guys in AEW. And right now, he is rolling.
Yeah.
And I love it.
And I think he wants to be there. And you can tell in his work, like this time around, he's not looking to go anywhere. He, you know, he's giving his all.
Hey, I I'm just speculating here, okay? Air quotes, speculation. When he was in AEW the last time, his wife was in WWE.
Very true.
He got back to WWE. Him and his wife did not work out. Was not his place. Now he's a free man.
Yep.
And anybody that's been married and divorced and know how that free man feels, you're going to roll with it. And I feel like he's rolling with it right now. And it shows in his work on the mic, in the ring. And I think he is rolling right now. And I love that. You know, he rips his pants off down to his Speedo, and he goes and finds the prettiest girl up against the guardrail and takes a selfie with it. Yep. I love that. I love it.
It's different than anything we've seen in AEW. Yeah. Crowd's liking it. His work's been fantastic in the ring.
I would say Andrade is in the title picture, obviously, before the end of the year.
Yeah, no, I think Maj is right. I think he's smartened up. You know, originally, I think there was backstage problems with him not wanting to put people over. This time he has no problem doing that because he realized grass wasn't greener on the other side.
Also, he had two flares in his ear.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, I love the flares to death. You know, they're very entertaining, but obviously they're very opinionated. Look at the social media.
Yes.
So
very true. Very true. Anything else, Shep, you want to cover? I think we've covered a lot of ground tonight.
We covered a lot of ground. Hey, I want to give a shout out because I was told Paul never does this. And when Paul doesn't do something, I'm like, well, I got to do it. I want to give a shout out to the local Warsaw Wrestling guys, FWF, Funkified Wrestling Federation. They came to my local town yesterday and put on a two-hour show, thoroughly entertaining. Enjoy those guys, except some guy named Nerdman. He was a douchebag and broke character and tried to hurt kids during the show. And I told Paul I was going to call him out on the show. Paul understood. And everybody in FWF is welcome back to Rochester this fall. We're going to have a show inside the Times Theater, except that fucking douchebag. So everybody can pass it along. I think he's Nerdman or Nerd the Fifth or whatever the fuck he went by. Fuck him. He tried to hurt kids. Not gonna suit with sit good with me. Other than that, everybody else was awesome. I appreciated him. I said I was gonna give a shout out to the FWF. They did a great job, and I can't wait to work with them this fall when they come to the Times Theater.
Support independent wrestling, people.
Yes, support independent wrestling. They did a free show downtown Rochester on the courthouse lawn with the courthouse in the background. It actually looked fucking awesome.
It looked really cool. I should have had it up tonight, yeah. But I didn't.
We had a great attendance. I felt like it was a very well attended show. And can't wait to work with those guys again come this fall.
Yep. All good stuff. Like I said, it's month of May. We got a lot going on over here at KOP in the month of May. You're going to be seeing us on some other podcasts around during the month. A lot going on, Double or Nothing time. We got a Double or Nothing prediction show live Saturday, May 23rd from 2 to 3 on the Main Event Wrestling Network YouTube channel and their socials. So make sure you are subscribed to their YouTube channel and following them on all socials. I don't know if we're going to be simulcasting it on ours or yet on our channel or not yet. I got to figure that out. But so make sure you are following over there because you don't want to miss it.
That's the 24-hour show, correct?
Yeah, we are part of the 20. There's a 24-hour marathon going on the network. We got a one-hour time block from 2 to 3 p.m.
We got lucky. Afternoon. Yes. We got lucky. I'll take that.
I thought we were going to be like 4 to 6 a.m. or something. So, so looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Double or Nothing's going to be great. We'll be on with the Ope three-way boys for the Double or Nothing review show the following week. You'll see me over on the Turnbuckle Tavern later this month on the debate. So a lot going on, KOP. You're going to see us all over the place. So if you're not already, follow us on social media at Kicking Out Pod. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are so close from 500 subscribers. So please, sickos out there, if you're not subscribed already, subscribe. Tell your friends who like wrestling, particularly AEW, to subscribe. We'll make it worth their while. I did film, Majin, this is for you since you've been clamoring on it. Finally got the wife to film a little bit with me today. That'll be dropping this week on the YouTube channel.
Well, we can't see it right now.
I don't have it ready to go, but it's actually even though we're an AEW pod, it's more of a WWE related video. But she wanted to do it. We had fun with it, so got her back on the channel. Majin said May 23rd/24th he'll be back in the ring again for WFC. Good deal.
All right. Well, hey, Majin, is your finish? You just throw a bunch of maple syrup on the mat and they slip and fall and you pin them?
That'd be a pretty good finish.
Is that your finish?
That'd be pretty good. And Majin, shout out to Majin. He's wearing his KOP shirt. He said, got to support the boys. If you want to be like Majin and support us and spend some of your hard-earned money, I know times are tough right now. Prices are going up. Gas prices are crazy here in America. I get it. But if you have some money and it's burning a hole in your pocket, go to kickingoutshop.com or prowrestlingtees.com and search Kicking Out Podcast. You will find T-shirts, coffee mugs, like this bad boy, pint glasses, hoodies, zip ups, anything you need. You'll find all different designs. We got Main Event Ship shirts on there. We got Mountain Dew Paul shirts on there.
We do. And if you order those, they go through the snail mail out of Canada.
Well, there you go.
I'm being a little sarcastic.
And but if you don't have the money to support us, that's okay. You can support us for free by just liking or subscribing to our podcast and give us that 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really, really helps us out. I can't stress enough how helpful that is. So if you just take a minute to do that, really appreciate it. And if you want to follow us Jackalobes on social media, feel free to do so. I'm at TannerLee92. Shep's at TheShep27 or underscore 27, right?
No, underscore.
Just the Ship 27. See, there, I'm a little rusty. Go. And I know Paul's at the at Paul's Arbin 87. I'm a little rusty at this after a week off. So, but with all that, he's Austin Shepherd. I'm Tanner Lee, the workhorse. Paul Zartman missing tonight because he's too big watching.
Oh, big meaty man. Oh, big meaty man slapping each other. Oh.
I love that.
We'll all be back next week to kick out. Yeah, another podcast. Have a great week, everybody.
This is where I say goodbye, mwah, and good night. Bam!